So I want to point our attention to something I believe will help us. Normally in our conventions, we don't record the teaching, but this particular one, we have to record it. It means that it's going to be public for the purpose of many other believers. That means it's a message that is not restricted to us here. And anytime the Spirit of God points our attention to something, means it is important for many believers to understand. Now, as a background, I often tell the leaders and pastors of this church that, yes, we want to, like the song said, we want to reach the world. We want to have hundreds of thousands and millions in our conferences, our conventions, not for crowd's sake, but to receive the word. I said, however, we must be careful not to do things in such a way that we will compromise the message and the mandate of Jesus. You get it? You know, there are some people that say they will lie to you, and then they say it's because they don't want you to be offended. Now, they've lied to you already. And they say, because I didn't want you to know, because when you know, you feel bad. But you lied to me. You didn't achieve anything eventually. You only postponed my feeling bad. Hope you're following what I'm saying. Because you have compromised the integrity of our relationship. Why did I say that? We mustn't serve Jesus by not preaching Jesus. He didn't say, go into all the world and gather crowds. That's not what he said. In Mark's Gospel 16:15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. But don't forget, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. So we must define what it means to preach the gospel. You know, at a point in time in the body of Christ, the ones I know, and because I also study a little bit of church history, I realized that there was a time that churches wanted to grow, and there was this movement. I don't doubt the integrity of those who started the movement, but then begin to look at the results, and they call it the church growth movement, where people were told how to grow churches. As noble as their intentions were, because it's not a biblical ministry, it will always bring out its own problems. So, people began to learn a couple of things. You know, go out, bring people to the church, which was never the idea in the scriptures. You bring people to the church. Then, you also give people flyers of your church program. Now those people will come to the service. So they are already part of the growth of the church. Are you following what I'm saying? And there are other things people were doing. People were doing things like shows and things like that. I'm not even focusing on that. That one is too bad to talk about. So, and the Christian workers were beginning to see that the point was just get people to the church services. Just get people to the church services. Just let them be in the church services. And people were being rewarded for those things. I recall my own sister. She was given an award for one of the most vibrant soul winners of our parish and the zone or be the area, whatever that she belonged to in our church. So I was curious. That was a 2000 and I think it was year 2000, 2001, one of those 2 years. So I called her. I said, come and share with me your soul winning exploits. Because I'm wondering. In fact, I saw it in the certificate she was given that she was responsible for planting 3 churches. And it's not good because the Bible says a prophet is not without honor. So I wanted to honor the prophet in my household. So I said, bring the materials. What exactly have you been doing? Then she said to me that, well, she used to mobilize people for the services to come to church. So I said, give me the list of the people that are in your record books. I was not trying to bring her to be my seat. I was just trying to find out so I can learn. So she included in the list of the people my brother. My brother had been saved before her. I know because I preached to him and I preached to her. At least I should know. So I was curious. I looked further at the list. Then I saw 4 of my brother's friends. Now, this will go on record because I think it should. And I know the reason why my brother went to the church was because of a girlfriend he was pursuing. And so his friends went with him because of the girl. And they also had their own point and kill. You know what point and kill is? You don't know what it is? Oh my God. Point and kill is a modus of asking. Oh. So, I said, now, these are the names I knew. One of the ones I didn't know. And I was saying, what is this? Then when they go out, I said, how do you organize these outreaches? Do you plan churches? Well, where we go there, we can do medical outreach. And people will be giving drugs. So we'll not bring them to the service. And that is soul winning. And that's why I knew that it's never the best to preach to people and let them go to another church. You will cry at the judgment seat of Christ. Because you don't know what they are telling them. I was telling you in church on Sunday. Was it Sunday? Don't tell people, go to a Bible-believing church. How can you tell a new convert to go to a Bible-believing church? He will just go to Jehovah's Witness and church or Latter-day Saints. Or sorry, Latter-day Saints. Because that's what you told him, Bible believing. So when I saw that, I said, this is a bit funny. And the church I'm talking about was growing then, growing at a fast rate. But they're not growing because they have preached the gospel. And we must sound the alarm amongst ourselves. Praise God. So that what we're doing will not be in vain. Are you listening to me? Romans chapter 10. Verse 15. I'll start from verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Praise God. Did you see that believing came before calling? They have to believe. Praise God. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Now, is he saying that they cannot call Jesus? No, they can call Jesus. The word there is kaleo. Kaleo means to name or to call by conviction. To call by conviction or call by knowledge. So he's saying, how can they call someone? Now, do you know, many people in the Bible call Jesus. In fact, those who were persecuting the church said, that Jesus. So it's not talking about calling the name of Jesus. People can call the name of Jesus and they have not believed. So he said, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? So the calling there is a confession of what? Confession of what? Faith. It's a confession of faith. How can they confess by faith? Someone they have not believed. Okay, watch this. How should they believe? Pay attention to this. In him of whom they have not heard. Do you know it didn't say of whom they have not heard about? The word heard is akohe, where he says in 17, faith is by that hearing. The hearing is by the message. Praise God. Where's your note? Make sure you are taking notes, okay? Faith is by hearing the message. A particular message. Hallelujah. I want to ask you a question. Was the name of Jesus popular in those days? Yes. Is that what he's talking about? No. Were there not people who knew the name of Jesus, knew about his miracles, but did not believe him? Did not believe that he was the Savior. They saw his miracles. They saw the signs and wonders that he performed. In fact, they received the signs and wonders, but they did not believe he was the Savior. So, believing in Jesus is not believing the miracles of Jesus. He's talking about the message. How shall they call on him whom we have not believed? How shall they believe in whom? In him of whom they have not heard? Hallelujah. You've heard the gospel. Praise God. And that's why you are saved. Glory to God. How many of you used to go to church before you were saved? Raise your hand. So many people who have been going to church. Samuel, for example, had been seen in the spirit before he got saved. Do you know he's still reflecting how he sings? Have you seen how he says, he's always extending the thing. He will drag it. Because he's used to prophesying before he got born again. So we have many of us who had been exposed to Christianity as an organized religion before we heard the gospel. In other words, we've been hearing about the Bible. We've even read the Bible. You've gone for a Bible quiz. You won. And if on that day you died, you were going to hell after winning the Bible quiz. So it's not talking about people hearing about Christianity or miracles. No. That's not what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Are you following me? People heard about Jesus. When they heard about Jesus, they came across to touch his clothes. They were healed. But when they heard the person of Jesus, many of them withdrew. Hallelujah. So he says, how shall they call? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So many of us, I was going somewhere. So how many of you said you had heard about Jesus? You had gone to churches before you received the gospel. Raise your hand. How was that possible? It was possible because you just heard about Jesus and about church, but you did not know who Jesus was. Okay? So you were going to church. And I'm very sure that the churches many of you are speaking about will be what we call the Orthodox churches. Am I right? The Orthodox churches. Because, and why was it possible for you to be found in those places? Because at that point, or at those periods, they were the group, they had been organized for many years. And many of those churches, don't let anybody deceive you, many of them were founded by the true preaching of the gospel of Christ. But you see, many of them, but as things began to grow, alright, the message was now compromised under organizations and so on and so forth. Let me go into that. That's something else. That will be an LMA class teaching. But let me leave that. So he says, how shall they hear without who? Without who? A preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? Nobody is saved by his thoughts. Nobody is saved by his conclusions about Jesus. People are saved by the message that they heard, or because of the message that they heard, without a preacher. Now watch this. Look at the verse 15. Verse 15 is my text. Let's read verse 15 together. How shall they preach? Everybody, one more time. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now he says the message has content. So, he says to us, how shall they preach except they have been sent? So who is the preacher there? The preacher is the one that has been sent. Pay attention now. To send you will mean I gave you something to do. That means nobody preaches his own ideas. He must have been sent. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He must have been what? Sent. Hallelujah. Nobody preaches his own ideas. How shall they preach except they have been sent? And that's what we're dealing with. What did he give us? Except they have been sent. Praise God. Why am I preaching the gospel? I wrote four things here. Go quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and then verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I want us to read it together. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, everybody, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. He has given to us what? The ministry. So, we were given a ministry of reconciliation. We're new creatures in verse 17. We're given a ministry of reconciliation in verse 18. Look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. Everybody now? Uh-huh. And not imputing, and as what? Committed to us the message of reconciliation. The message. That means the message has definite terms. Pay attention here. So, why am I preaching? Number one, have been saved by the gospel. Because if you are not saved by the gospel, you cannot preach the gospel. I've been saved by the gospel. Number two, I've been sent by the gospel. I've been sent by the same message. Number three, I must stand by the gospel. I must stand by it. I have to stand by it. And finally, I must preach it. I must stand by it. And then I must preach it. He gave us a message. A definite message. Praise God. So, why are we particular about this? Because Paul warned in Galatians in chapter 1. Go there. He warned about a different kind of message. A different kind of message. In Galatians chapter 1. He says from verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, verse 4, and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from he that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Hallelujah. So you are soon removed. In other words, it is possible for someone who has been saved by the gospel to believe another one. He's still saved. But he's following another kind of message. Watch this. The word another gospel is the word heteros, euangelion. The funny thing about the another gospel is that the word gospel is retained. You know, if it was another message, you would say, well, it's not the gospel, so it's not it. But it says it is another gospel. In other words, the word gospel is retained. The word euangelion means glad tidings, good news. So, it will be good news. But the good news is another kind. Eteros. Eteros means another sort. It looks like it, but it's not it. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Then he says in verse 8, but though we, you an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, and so I say now again, if any man preach another gospel. Now, for Paul to repeat these words, we have to pay attention to it. Unto you, than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? For I seek to please men. Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Pay attention there. To be a servant of Christ. A servant of Christ. He says, if I choose to please men, then I'm not a servant of Christ. If I'm trying to give men what they want, I'm not a servant of Christ. I have changed masters immediately. The minute I'm preaching something people want, I'm no longer a servant of Christ. I'm not saying you must look for what people don't want. No. Your message must be independent of people's desires. Hallelujah. There's a church in the States, United States of America, where they said that they should remove Christ from the message so that people will not think that they are preaching religion to them. That they should just talk about goodness. Goodness. And I said, there's a thin line between that and insanity. Because goodness is not just any kind of goodness. The goodness we are preaching is a goodness called the grace of God. How God commended his love towards us while we are sinners. Christ died for us. Praise God. He was delivered up for our offenses, raised for our justification. Praise God. Romans 5:8 and Romans 4:25. So it is another gospel, which means another kind of message. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and then verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Pardon me. And then verse 4. For if he that preacheth comes, 2 Corinthians 11 and 4. If he that cometh preaches another Jesus. Notice that. Another Jesus. Whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit which you have not received. Or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with. Hallelujah. Another Jesus. Another spirit. Another message. So there's a possibility for people to believe in another Jesus. Is that correct? There's a possibility for people to believe another spirit. Is that correct? There's a possibility for people to believe another gospel. Because you want to grow. You want to grow. So you will think that faith doesn't come by toasting people. It comes by preaching the gospel. It's not by luring them. Luring them. People preach things that lure. I was told, and I found it myself, of certain churches that will go out with flyers of testimonies. Are you aware of it? Are you aware of it? Testimonies that have lies, exaggerations, have truths. And then they'll put them out. Do you want to have academic success? Do you want to make heaven? Not Jesus Christ. But do you want to make heaven? Do you want your life to change? They give you a testimony of one brother. That brother, he used to be a messenger in his office when he joined our church. And then he believed our message. The next day, his chairman stood up from his seat and gave it to him. So when you preach that, what you will attract will be greed, right? And covetousness, not faith in Christ. And people will flood to the place. Along the line, some may be born again later on, but a good number will just adjust their lives. They will adjust their lives to what is being done. They will speak in tongues. They will go out for evangelism with you and do exactly what you did to them. They will receive healing. And so on and so forth. The question will be, did they ever believe the gospel? Remember, there were people who walked with Jesus. Who even went around. The kingdom of heaven is here. One of them was Judas. and he never believed. Are you listening? You know, the disciples, it was upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we could confirm their faith. Why? Because faith can only be found in the message. Faith is not found in the feelings. Faith is not found in emotions or imaginations. Faith is not found in visions, scary stories. Faith is found in the message of Jesus Christ. And so we must watch it as a local church. Because by the time you are preaching out of growth, you want to grow, you will compromise the message. Sure, we want to grow. Why do we want to grow? We must want to grow because we want many to be saved. Not many to be our church members. Because if your motivation for evangelism is to fill your services, you will compromise your message. Where's your note? Let me see it. This is not Carrie's camp meeting. Let me see. Show me the notes. What? Wait, let me see what you're writing. How can you be doing this? Who locked your room? But they didn't lock you. Make sure you get it the next session, okay? What's your name? From which church? I go away in church. When did you join the church? Last month. Okay. Are you already a worker? That's good. But Alex, that was fast. She's already a worker. Eh? She doesn't know how to take notes. You should be teaching her that. That's what we're talking about. Don't be quick to have workers. The workers must be trained by the word. Is that clear? Praise God. Amen. I don't want to imagine because everybody I'm looking at is, we're all the same. We may not be the same. Praise God. So, because of growth, they'll send you out. Ah, see how he touches you. Go out now. Ah. Then you go and compromise the message. You will beg people. Please now. Please, born again. Please, for my sake. There was a brother who was working in this church. He's no longer here. We made him the coordinator of one of the fellowships back then. So he will come to the conferences. Now, he was probably one of the few that will send money to transport people to the meetings. So, his school then was outside Lagos. Was a student. So, because most of the meetings will be doing public holidays. So he will go and say, do you guys want to go to Lagos? They say, yeah. I can get you to Lagos. And all that. But on one condition. You will show your face at the conference of the church. So he will pay their way. And he will come with a bus filled with people. And they will come. And then they will come. They now came for one of the conferences. One was, this was not the bargain. I'm talking about Saint Community Church. So don't look outside. I'm talking about Saint Community Church. So Pastor Lan and someone just told me, Pastor, something's going on. I don't know what's going on. You know, Pastor Lan is the detective in the ministry. You should know them by, I'll tell you your pastors later. They have different giftings that. He said, Pastor, something's going on. Say what? The people so and so person is bringing to the church meetings. Are you sure they are members of the church? How would I know? Don't accuse me now. How would I know? He said, when we want to pray, they say, what? They didn't tell me I was coming to do this. And I think that the first day, am I right? But the first day, they will just go, all of them, en masse. He put them for WCC the very first night. There was rebellion on the prayer ground. Ah, no. They all ran away. They moved en masse like they left Egypt. That brother told us he was organizing a program. So I said, Brother Kole, go and check this boy out. A program. So he sent us pictures. Pictures. He just had the movie like this. The two pictures of the congregation. And it was not our ministry that organized the program. And they were doing academic, Kule, am I right? Academic something? Is it, huh? They did academic, they did comedy, jokes, go for big batting. He was doing that. And I told him, I said, you can't last in the ministry. You're a crook. He's not in the ministry. How would he be? He's not serving Jesus. I said, remember, when I found you out, you know how I found you? He's married now. Kids. So you know how I found you? You know how I saw you? You know what you were doing? You are now going to lie. You deceived me. I was the only one that didn't know I was being deceived. Praise the Lord. Don't misrepresent Jesus. Is that okay? So I asked him to close down what he was doing. Praise God. Any church in this ministry, that I found that they are teaching something else, we're going to close it down. We'll start again. Praise God. Because the danger of another gospel is eternal. So, for growth, also for popularity. Ah! You say, ah, Pastor, what's going on? People are not going to our church now. What's going on? What can we do? What can we do? Let us bring a big banner and put it in front of the church and say, come in. It's happening here. What's happening? Eat. No. We will not do that. We won't throw that lane. I was talking to a preacher a couple of days ago. So he said, sir, I respect the doctrine that you preach. Said, in fact, you are the sound system teacher, sound teacher that I know. When people talk like that, they've forgotten that I've been used to praises for so long. I don't know which one is this one now. You say, you are the man of God. You. Someone said, you are the Paul of our time. You think I like Paul like that? His message that I believe. Praise the Lord. Say, you are the Jesus Christ. I've heard that long enough. So if you oversay it, I'll begin to look at you one way. What exactly do you want? So he said that, I like the word and I like the things of the spirit. Say, but I think that, I have other people that I follow for ministry principles. I said, take it again. Ministry principles. Say, you are not okay. After the word and the spirit, what ministry are you talking about? Say, you know the ministry, how to rule. Say, shut up. I say, you and your fathers. How many of you are as intelligent as I am? Come, let's talk. Come. Let's talk. How many of you? I said, I hear you speak English. You are not good in your grammar. So, if you are not good in English, you are not too intelligent. Say, any subject matter, let us discuss. Not put the Bible aside, any subject. I said, you just talked about charismatic gifts. You and the people that are training you, you don't have the results that I had years ago, not I have now, that I had years ago. So what else? exposure even to things in the corporate world, you don't have it. You and your leaders. So what are you going to teach me? He was stunned. I said, years ago, I determined not to be like you. It's not like this is just the will of God that we found. No, it's a determination that we will not build our ministry on things like this. It's a choice. So I said, it's a choice I made and we have made. Because many people, for example, who build their ministry on miracles, after a while, to sustain it, they will start to stage manage it. You and I minister miracles. It's not like Acts 2 was Monday, Acts 3 Tuesday, Acts 4 was Wednesday, Acts 5 Thursday, Acts 6 Friday, Acts 7. No, some of those things happen within the space of 20, 30 years. Or Jesus' ministry. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. Are you sure? Are you sure? There were several sick people in the days of Jesus. That was why Peter could find someone at the beautiful gate. Same temple Jesus went to all the time. Then you build your ministry on miracles. And it's about miracles, miracles. After a while, you state manage them. After a while, you begin to exaggerate. But what you build on the world is consistent. Hallelujah. There'll be miracles accompanying the world. Hallelujah. Signs and wonders. But the word is why you are doing the work of ministry. So, for popularity, also, the last one I have mentioned is, you can be preaching out of an obligation. I want to warn you, it's important to obey your leaders, okay? And then you follow them. Brother Daniel says, you go out and do this, you go. But you see, do not do evangelism out of obligation. I have to do it, oh. Jide will not like it, oh, that I didn't win souls. Can you imagine? That means your heart is not for the person you are preaching to. It's to just write a report. You will compromise. Soul winning, or winning souls, or preaching the gospel is a conviction in your heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? It's not an instruction from your zonal pastor. Your zonal pastor is only telling you what the Lord wants you to do. But you must not relate it to your zonal pastor and begin to do it for man. You will compromise. You will lie. You will do what my sister did. Are you following what I'm saying? It must be born out of a conviction in your heart. People have been preached to a wrong gospel. Come and solve the problems of your life. Come and do this for your life. Churches have become herbalist centers. There are things I cannot say so that you will not be discouraged. They are not healthy things. And I want to maintain the positive motive of the gospel, so I will leave that out. But listen, you must not do out of obligation. Oh, my coordinator, my brother Timothy, he said I must do, so I must go out to. Yes, there's the place of being trained. You see, when he tells you to go out, he's just training you. But you see, what you ought to carry with it is, you see, I love people to receive Christ. That should be your motivation. Paul says, if we be beside ourselves, 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of God does what? Constrains us. Hallelujah. The love of God. That is why this, you don't have to take this. But I question a soul winner who does not pray for the people he's preaching to. I question your motive. To be a genuine soul winner, you must consistently be given to prayer. 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 You are praying. Jesus prayed all the time. The apostles prayed all the time. Paul prayed all the time. You must be praying. There will be that compassion. Hallelujah. That compassion that drives your eyes to tears.
Not a compulsion from your pastor. I have to go. It's already Saturday. I have to send my report. You will compromise the message. You will do what you ought not to do. Hallelujah. Because the message is a message of faith. Not of works. People have to believe. So it must be well preached. Hallelujah. If you don't have the gospel, you will have another gospel. So we must be careful. We must be careful about the kind of message that we preach. That means, as I'm setting out to preach, I must determine what I'm going to say. I must determine the kind of results I will get. Hallelujah. Do you pray before you go out in evangelism? Do you pray that the word of God will have a free course? Do you pray that the light of the knowledge of the word will shine on their hearts? Do you pray? Or you just go and invite people to the services? I told someone, I said, the person you are bringing to the service, is he saved? He said, we've been talking about it. I said, no. Who is your zonal pastor? That's not how I trained anybody here. I've never trained anyone to bring people, sinners, to the church. Any pastor who tells you to do that is a bastard. They don't exist here. There's none of them that's a bastard. I'm just telling you, that person is a bastard. It's not a true son of his ministry. We train you to preach the gospel. When you bring people to the services, you bring them to the services to learn about the salvation they've already received. That must be very clear. Are you following what I'm saying? Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. And that is why you discover in the Acts of the Apostles. And that's why I want to get this into our system. In the Acts of the Apostles, there's a word that flowed from the four Gospels into the Acts of the Apostles. Is the word disciples. In other words, as I go out to preach, what am I going to do? Am I going to bring people to increase the membership of my church? People organize programs for people to eat. Come and eat. But then a lady told me of one program that of a church she used to belong to, that they offered food at University of Lagos auditorium. And plenty of food. By the time they offered the food, and the hall was filled. People were in the hall. I mean, the middle auditorium had a lot of people. And then they posted on Facebook. Hey! But there were things that happened after. As the food delayed, it's coming. You can go, where is the promise of his coming? And as they began to distribute the food, they beat up the church workers. They beat them up. The point is they won't touch the pastor because the pastor will have been with his protocol. Give me the meat. Give me the rice. They beat them up. Why? Because they called them to eat food. Why delay us with all this preaching? We want food. We can do the same thing here. People will come. People are so hungry in Nigeria now. They're using their children for collateral to collect rice. So imagine if you do that for church growth, we will double up in one day. We give you Indomie and give people one piece of egg. They will come. They will take pictures. I know For example, there are ministers that go to countries like India and Pakistan. Not all, but there's some, a few. Maybe not the ones you know. And then you gather them in the crowd. Those people have not believed the gospel. In fact, in India, I learned that they'll just say something about Jesus is a good blessing. So they'll just add Jesus to one of their gods. So there'll be so many people in the program. 1 million, 300,000. So the ministers will take the pictures, the videos, and show it to their partners to continue to support them. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not telling you a rumor, I'm telling you a fact. To begin to support them. To see what you are doing. See what we're doing with your money. Support us. Support us. And those ones are gullible. They'll just say, ah! For example, that brother who was bringing people to the church. Did I not gawk it? I thought he was doing a fantastic work. But if I prayed well in the spirit, I would have picked it that deceit. He was collecting money. So we're supporting, I was partnering with a lie. There are people that do that today. Just like those who arrange for miracles. So that the partners say, see what the ministry is doing. And they begin to give more money. That will never be found in our ministry in Jesus' name. So you'll find the word disciples. You must set out. Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. Jesus said, all power is given me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. Teaching all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? It's not original. Teaching them to observe. You find the word teaching was emphasized to make disciples. Never set out on evangelism to raise church members. Set out on evangelism to make disciples. Did you hear what I'm saying? Go on evangelism. To raise disciples. Pay attention. In life, as a policy, as just a regular principle, there may be exceptions. Anything that you rush loses its quality. Hear me. There may be situations because of time. You cannot take all the time. We have 5 minutes to talk and all that. But when you are preaching the gospel, don't rush. Did you hear me? It's not something that should be rushed. I'm not saying spend 3 days on one person. And see, Pastor has said, we should not rush. So you see, on the first day, for God, I'll come back tomorrow. Solo. I wasn't talking about that. Praise the Lord. When you go out, what exactly are you going to do? To make sure that Saints Community Church is doubled by next year? No. You'll compromise. We want to double. Why do we want to double? We want to double so that many more people will be growing in the Word of God. But we don't want to double so that will be many people in our church. Mm-mm. You must preach the gospel for people to be saved. And then follow Christ. You hear what I'm saying? To follow Christ. Hallelujah. So you find that word disciples. 263 times it's used. 263 times. The book of Acts, you have it 31 times. Now, look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. The very first time, you will see it. You learning something? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up onto the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Notice the word, his disciples. Just back up in chapter 4 and see what he meant. He saw Peter, and he said to him, follow me, in verse 19, and I'll make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. Praise God. I could preach on that the whole day. And I'll make you not fishers of things. He took Peter away from things to men. When you find purpose in the gospel, your attention leaves things for men. He will take your mind off a big business, praise God, to the expansion of the kingdom of God. He will take your mind off from things to men. And I'll make you fishers of men. Praise God. So in the gospel, we are made. Hallelujah. We are made. Glory to God. We don't come to the gospel and then we remain the same. We are made. Glory to God. I said we are made. That means there are things we are going to become because we have believed. Purpose comes into our lives. Hallelujah. I was saying it on Sunday. I said it's coming a time and it's coming true when the Church of Christ in Nigeria will have, there will be no church that there will be respect given to your age, your money, your status in the society. Hallelujah. It's an insult to the gospel of Christ for us to be ranking men to the degree of what they have or they don't have. It's anti-gospel. I collect a church like that. A fellow was practically dragged into the church. Dragged. Because in the estate, he was a multi-millionaire. So he told his man, make sure that we get that man into the church. So they went. The man now said, call the pastor. It's until the pastor comes. The pastor came there. The pastor came, pay attention now. And as he was coming, in fact, the man didn't know the pastor was going to come. So they had set the dogs out. And as the pastor in the compound was running around, hey, who is that? He said, that's the pastor, that's the pastor. You should have told me now. And then the dog got the dog. The man now entered the house. In the name. Say, hey, what do you want? Nothing, we just brought the love of Jesus Christ. You know, the way you are, we know God has blessed you. And we know that with people like you, that when you accept Christ, you accept you are in our church, we know that the whole estate will know that God is working. And the man said, okay, that he will join the church. So he joined the church. He said in 2 weeks, he was made the chairman of the church council. Is a popular church. So the man joined the committee. So they wanted to build a house for the pastor. I said, no, the church, the man supplied him a trailer load of cement. He's giving money. And then he eventually married most of the choir ladies. The pastor couldn't say anything. Where are you? In the church council meetings, you call the pastor by name. James, I told you. Pastor said, don't worry, Elder. Don't worry, Elder. The man is on television. So when the couple who was the secretary of the council came to ask me for counsel, I was learning. They came to me for counsel and I was learning. Say, Pastor, what do you have to say? I said, if you are hearing something for the first time, you say nothing. I wish I didn't hear it. They've compromised the integrity of the message. They've bowed to mammon. We see churches in Nigeria, they will bring secular people who are not saved to come and be talking. Hallelujah. And some people will join the church because they want to get connection. in the church. Are you not aware of that? Some people come around and say, who is who in this church? They look at the kind of cars. Kind of people. I don't like that your church. Why? The sermon is too long. That's not the problem. If the sermon is long and ministers and commissioners are there, the guy will say, why is the sermon so short? Are you getting what I'm saying? And you have MDs of banks, praise God, who are still coming here, praise God. But they will come because of the gospel. Praise the name of Jesus. So, he said, I will make you fishers of men. He took him from things to men. The Bible says he left the nets. Praise God. So I say he left the nets. He left the nets and followed him. Praise God. He left the nets. And then he followed. And then his brethren too. Verse 22. And they left the sheep and their father and followed him. They followed him. Verse 23 says, he went about teaching in the synagogues. Let me ask you, who was Jesus teaching? Believers or unbelievers? Huh? Unbelievers. He was teaching. He was teaching. He was teaching. He was explaining. He was explaining. Praise God. You know, he would spend several hours explaining for them to believe. Several hours he's explaining. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? He began to personalize the word disciples. You see, in Matthew's Gospel 26 and 18, his disciples, or my disciples, Matthew's Gospel 26, 18, Matthew's Gospel 26, 18. I want to eat the Passover with my disciples. Same thing, Mark's Gospel 14, 14. And Luke's Gospel 22, 11. My disciples. Are they disciples of Jesus Christ? The people you are going out for. Are you going out so that you can raise disciples for Jesus Christ? A disciple, we'll find out what it means in a moment. Look at John's Gospel chapter 8, 31. John's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 31. Hallelujah. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Hallelujah. You know disciples by the message. By the message. John's Gospel 8:31. Then are you my disciples indeed. John's Gospel 13:35. 13:35. This shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. One to another. If you have love one to another. Chapter 15 and then verse 8. Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. My disciples. So who is a disciple? The word disciple is the word mathethes. Math, where you have mathematics. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S. Is someone who is learning. Is learning. Is learning. A pupil. A student. Hallelujah. The word math means a mental walk. A mental walk. Math. A mental walk. So that means the disciple is one who has a change of mindset. Because that's the implication here. A change of mindset. Another associated word is the word mathano. Mathano. M-A-T-H-A-N-O. Mathano. Mathano means to learn. Someone say, learn. Matthew's Gospel 9:13. He's learning. He's learning. To learn. Matthew's Gospel 9:13. You go ye and learn what it means. Learn. That's the word learn. Matthew's Gospel 11:29. Learn of me. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. To learn of Christ. So when you are going out to preach, you want men to learn of who? Christ. You want them to know him. To learn of Christ. Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. Matthew's Gospel 24 verse 32. Matthew's Gospel 24 verse 32. Learn. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Learn. John's Gospel 7 and 15. What does it mean to learn? That word matheno means to come to realize. It comes by instruction. It comes by explanation. Hallelujah. It comes by instruction. And it comes by explanation. You must explain. Did you hear what I'm saying? Did you hear what I'm saying? You must what? Explain. Like I mentioned, the folks who were in that nation of India, they would just hear Jesus. They would just present Jesus. Like, I remember I was in a country years back. And then the man said, Jesus is the greatest of the gods. I said, no. He's a pastor. He has people coming to his congregation. I said, no. He said, he's the best and the kindest. I said, no! There's no other God but one. Hallelujah. No way. He's the only Savior. Praise the Lord. They asked the man on television, though he has recanted it, but we have to make reference to it. Not that we are counting his sins against him, but we have to make reference to it. He said, are you now saying that every other person who is doing this and following Islam, and are they saying they are wrong? The man said, I can't judge. What? Brother, I can. They are wrong. Jesus is not a way, he is the way. He is not one of the truth, he is the truth. And he is only the life, he is the only life men can have. Hallelujah. That must be your persuasion when you are preaching. Other people can work miracles. There's miracles in the name of Jesus. Other people can give you wealth. God gives all men. But only Christ, by salvation, can give you life. That must be clear. Glory to God. The man said, I said, no. The man was stunned. I said, no. Jesus Christ is God who became a man. Hallelujah. That's what he is. That's who he is. Thanks be unto God. You learn. That word is used, matheno, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 23, verse 27. This man, he says, then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. The word learn, matheno, means to understand. A man cannot claim to be born again when he does not understand Jesus as his Savior. No. He can't. The guy said, someone came to complain to his pastor. A dear friend of mine. He's a lawyer. He said, pastor, what's going on? So what's up? Ever since I joined the church, they told me to give my life to Christ. I gave my life to Christ. And they had told me that things were going to change. And all that. So I'm still staying with my brother-in-law. And I don't like it. Pastor, what's going on? The pastor said, hold on. God will soon do it. that guy is not a Christian. He's not serving Christ. He has not believed in Jesus. He has not understood that Jesus Christ, he's not Father Christmas. He doesn't get it. He has believed in salvation for things, not salvation from sins. Am I talking to anybody here? He is not saved. And some of them will rise to be heads of departments of churches. The pastor told me the story how the head of the choir of a church rose up one day and said, after choir practice, you know, after choir practice, people are very, very free and relaxed. He said, but let's face it, guys. All these things about Jesus, rapture, he's coming, he came, is it really true? The sister said, stop saying it. Ah, Brother Theophilus, how can you say something like that? Ah, he has said it. He has already said it. Say, don't say that now. Ah, I owe you. I know what I'm saying. Did he ever believe? Because he ought to have known that it's by faith. Hallelujah. It's by faith. Glory to God. Is by faith. So it's not learning. The epistles use the same word. Romans 6, verse 17. Romans 16, pardon me, verse 17. Are you still there? Are you still there? Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses, contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and avoid them, which you have learned. We learn. So I say we learn. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, Paul is speaking here, be ye learners of me. To learn. 1 Corinthians 4. To learn. 1 Corinthians 4, 6. That you might learn in us. Better. Not to think of men above that which is written. To learn. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 31. Talking to the women. Let them learn. Let them learn. To the women, in verse 35, let them learn. If you learn anything, let them learn at home. In verse 31, all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn, that all may be comforted. There's an ongoing learning. The first learning is when you meet that sinner, he starts to learn. He starts to learn. And he continues to learn. Galatians chapter 3 verse 2. When Paul was going to rebuke the Galatian church. Only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Philippians 4, pardon me. Philippians 4. Ephesians 4:20, then Philippians 4. Ephesians 4:20. You have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. Philippians chapter 4. And then verse 9. The things you have heard, that you have both learned and received and heard, and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned whatever state I am, there be to be content. So there's a learning. So there's a learning. You are learning. Colossians 1 and 7. You have also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you. You have learned of him. That means he's teaching you.
you have learned of him is teaching you. 1 Timothy 2, verse 11, talking to couples here. Let the woman learn in subjection, nor with silence in subjection. 1 Timothy 5 and 4, talking to the widows. Let them learn first to show piety at home. 1 Timothy 5 and 4. 1 Timothy 5:13. This is a negative one. They learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. That's a negative one. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7. Some folks, he calls them, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:14. Let's read that one together. 2 Timothy 3:14. Are you there? Let's go. But continue thou in the things that thou have learned, and I have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Hallelujah. It says to continue. So what is spiritual growth? To continue to learn. Amen. So, when I'm preaching the gospel, it's for the sinner to what? Learn of Christ. That learning is by faith. He knows Jesus. He is taught of Christ. He is taught in Christ. Titus 3:14. Let us also learn to maintain good works. Then about Jesus, Hebrews 5:8. He learned obedience. So there's a teaching going on. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I'm saying? There's a teaching going on. So when you talk about making disciples, what does it mean to make disciples? It's a process. It's the word matheteo. I'll spell it for you. matheteo. A progressive learning. Hallelujah. If we're going to use a little illustration right now, we say, when you meet a sinner, he gets into the crutch. He starts to learn. And one of the platforms where he continues to learn is in the church programs, the church meetings. But you must never make church meetings the priority. Church meetings are a priority. The priority, first of all, is for him to learn of Christ. Hallelujah. You find that word in Matthew's Gospel 13:52, Matthew's Gospel 27:57, and Matthew's Gospel 28:19. Making disciples. How do you make disciples? Acts 14:21, we're going to come to it. He says they taught them much. You must explain. Praise the Lord. Years ago, myself and a team, I belonged to an organization then, African Invasion Mission. And so we went on an outreach. And we went to this place, just not far from Lagos University. No, University of Lagos, Lagos University, the one, the outskirts. And we discovered. We said, do you know Jesus? And I said, they did. How we don't know Jesus? And then my leader then, you know, asked the question, who is he? I would never have asked that question the way he did. The guy said, is he not one guy that died in Lagos? I was stunned. And we're not talking to a mad person. He was in a right frame of mind. So we began to share the gospel. It took us a while. That this is who Jesus is. The Bible says this. He came to the world. Hallelujah. You don't rush the message of salvation. Why are you rushing it? What are you trying to achieve if not salvation? Praise God. Are you still there? So you make disciples. Also, you make disciples. Now, Come again to Luke's Gospel 11. The word disciples can be used for many, many people. It's not a spiritual word. You know, in Luke 11:1, they told Jesus,
teach us to pray as John taught his own disciples. In John 3:25 again, you hear about John's disciples. That means John had people learning of him. That's why in Acts 19 and verse 1, Paul met certain disciples. That means they were learning something. They were learning something. And he found out that what they were learning was John. Acts 19:1. So you can find people, disciples, for example, of a false doctrine. Are you listening? Are you listening? You can find disciples of a false doctrine. So go to Acts 1. If somebody is dozing near you, tap the person. Because some people, it's like a gift. Can you smile? Acts 1. Praise God. Acts 1. Acts 1, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of those who are learning. Hallelujah. Those who are what? Learning. Those who are learning. Why were they calling Christians learners? Why? Why were they calling them learners? Because they were learning. They were being taught. Things were being explained to them. In Acts 6 verse 1. Look at this. Acts 6 verse 1. Let's see that one together. And in those days, when the number of church members was multiplied. Of what? Those who are learning. Why was it like that? Just back up to Acts 2 verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. They were learning. Acts 6, 7. That's why it's a strange thing for a local church not to be teaching a lot. It's a strange thing. You see, what exactly are they breeding? What exactly? Because if you start out by teaching, if you start out by the word, you will have to continue by the word. Years ago, a pastor called me. His church was a growing church. So he told me. He told me that he wanted to ask me a question. I said, what's the question? He said, my church, we're growing a lot. I said, thank God for that. He said, but he found out that many of them were behaving one kind. That is, he doesn't like the kind of people he's seeing in his church. He said, I've watched your church and I think I like what's going on there. So I said, what exactly is the question? He said, what can I do to make them grow spiritually? What a shame. You brought people to your church. You did not know that they had to grow. So I asked him a question. I said, sir, how did you bring them in? Because you cannot, an unbeliever cannot grow spiritually. He can serve. He can give. He can submit, but he will not grow. So I asked him a question. He said, we did creative evangelism. I didn't bother to ask him details. Because I know what it is. I know what exactly he's talking about. Creative evangelism. I remember a dear friend told me. Sorry, a friend told me. Someone I used to be a friend to told me. He said on a campus in this country that because they wanted people to be saved, pay attention, they now arranged for someone to appear dead. They now raised the undead dead. And then people gathered for the campus. I don't want to mention the campus. Because that will give it away. People gathered and say, come and accept Jesus Christ. That's creative evangelism. They organized one for some boys to come into the church meeting to appear like call boys and try to shoot at someone right? With a false, you know, a dummy gun. And then the gun, you know, they say, wow, see power. So we flocked. That's creative evangelism. Or you bring a comedian to make people laugh. After they have laughed, you now preach Jesus. Which Jesus? There was one drama. They acted. This was I'll mention this campus now. University of Lagos. Read. Rumble in the Temple. 2001, I think, or year 2000. They acted an X-rated film in a Christian program. I didn't mean they removed their clothes totally, but they ensured that the lady that was going to act the seducing person, her underwears were showing on the stage. And then she wore a skirt so tight that her panties were also showing, because they wanted to make it as real. And the place was jam-packed. They were much. And then they say, if you want to give your life to Christ, brothers and sisters, which Christ? Did they learn Christ? No. Hallelujah. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? I was talking to a pastor friend. He's in the UK. I saw him last night. And so we were fellowshipping together. And he told me, he said, because I had known him for years, we're classmates in secondary school. He said, you know me before. I used to preach all those kind of things. He said, I had to kneel down and beg my church for deceiving them. That's what he told me. He said, do you know that the same things we ran away from in the Orthodox churches are now done comfortably in the charismatic churches? I asked him a question. I said, when did we start doing Father's Day? What is the meaning of that? That was the things we were doing in the Orthodox churches and people ran away. Mother's Day, Women's Guide, Girls Guide, Boys Guide, Band. That's an old school. Now they've reformed it. But they said, so many offerings, so many offerings. And it was just about three. Now! Diversities of operations. Praise God. He said, what do we do, man of God? I said, we're doing something. We're preaching the gospel. Light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. Praise the Lord. Creative. So when that pastor asked me, creative evangelism, I said, well, what can I say? I said, how do you do it? I said, there's nothing we do. He said, is there a special way? So he was thinking that the reason why it appears to him, that our members were growing, that there's something there's a particular program we do. I said, there's no program. He said, how do you do your Sunday service? I said, it's the same thing. I said, whether it's Sunday service, Tuesday service, Thursday service, we teach the word. So is that you are a believer or you are not? Said, what do I do? I said, I don't know, sir. Said, because it is how you brought them in, you have to sustain them creatively. Creatively. Because these people are not saved. How can they believe in whom they have not heard? Don't forget that statement. How can they call on whom they have not believed? How can they believe in someone they have not heard? Not they have not heard about. So, he asked me, what do I do? I said, I don't know. You have to re-preach the gospel to them so that we can start properly. You get my point? A dog can only try. He's not a human being. If somebody has not believed, he has not believed. What you are trying to hide from him was so that he will not run away. If you preach a hard, a straightforward gospel message, eventually when he hears it, he will still run away. So let him run now, so that he can come back and now properly hear, so he won't run again. Let me see if I'm following what I'm saying here. Don't ever compromise the message of Jesus Christ. In Acts 6:7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. Look at what increased. The word. The word of God first increased before the disciples increased. So what must first increase? What must first increase? The word. The message. It's the message that births faith. When the word increases, then the believers will increase. Not programs increasing. Not miracles increasing. Thank God for miracles. We are yet to see the best of them. And we are going to see the best of them. Hallelujah. But that's not our message. You cannot eat the wrapper. Hallelujah. Miracles are just the wrappers. Hallelujah. The message is the content. What we see. What we are saying. What we are preaching. What we are telling men. That's why we must never compromise it. I told someone on Facebook a couple of months back. So let me tell you the truth. You are not yet a believer. He said, nobody has ever said this to me, sir. So you are not yet a believer. And then he accepted Christ. So you are not yet a believer. You're a good man. You're serving in the church. You are giving your arms like Cornelius. But you are not yet born again. Praise the Lord. That's why, rather than preach the word, many churches, when they now grow, they now begin to preach about hell because they are scared at what they are seeing. So they begin to manufacture a book of life, diary of life, email of life. They start to see visions. Angels start to appear to them. Their grandfather begins to die and wake up again. Why? Because they never had the message. Are you there? Glory to God. What increased first? The message. So there was persecution against who? Persecution against the disciples. The church. So what was called the church in Acts was a group of people. A group of who? Disciples. Those who were learning. They could see it that they were learning something. Praise God. How many of you went home after your first time in the secondary school? You're moving from maybe primary 5 or primary 4, we'll go for primary 6 or primary 3 now, 4. And then you get to, you're from 1 or GSS 1. And then you come back home, maybe you had younger siblings. And you started to what? Who has ever done that before? You started to tell them what you have learned. Who has done that before? Because you start to show up. You know. That means you are learning something. You are learning something. You are being taught something. You have come into the knowledge of God as a Christian. Hallelujah. Acts 9:1. He says, Saul, breathing heavily, with threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. They were being, those who were being taught about Jesus. Hallelujah. Who were being taught about Jesus. Glory to God. They were being taught. So go to Acts 11. You'll find out that in the book of Acts, they did not refer to anyone amongst themselves as Christians.
The term Christian is only found four times. And in the four times, three were used by unbelievers. Three. Acts 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people. Hallelujah. They did what? They taught much people. Pay attention. That word, taught much people, is the word I showed you earlier, Matthew, which is the word to make disciples of much people. Many people were learning. Hallelujah. Many people were what? They were learning. That means the word of God was growing. People were preaching it, teaching it in different places. They were teaching it. Whether on Facebook or Twitter. Wherever. On Periscope. On the internet. One-on-one. They were preaching it so much. Watch this. And the disciples. Hallelujah. Who are disciples? Those who were learning. They were now called what? Christians. They began to speak the word. They began to bring out the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Their conduct began to reflect what had affected them. Why would they call them Christ-like or Christians? That means the message they were hearing was whose message? Jesus Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why they would call them Christians. Those are like Christ. Everything they are talking about is Jesus Christ. They called them Christians. They were called. The world called them. The world called them Christians. The world found out that there was no meeting point between their message and what they were saying. The second time you see the word used. Acts 26. Did I say four times or three times? Acts 26 verse 28. Hallelujah. And now Agrippa said unto Paul, how must thou persuade me to be a Christian? Glory to God. Why did he say that? Because Paul had said so much about Jesus. Paul's message was Jesus. He had said it so much. I'm almost persuaded to start to reason Jesus. Are you there? Again, who said this? An unbeliever. Agrippa. In 1 Peter 4. Praise God. 1 Peter 4:18. 4:16, sorry. If any suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Now, what is a suffer? Because that's how the world will see them. Suffer as a Christian. Let him glorify God on his behalf. Once again, who is a disciple? Huh? Learning what? Learning Christ. And how would you learn Christ? Is when you are being taught Christ. You can be a disciple of Pastor Ayo. And you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will be learning of who? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The learning Christ. Are you there? Learning Christ. They are disciples. Let me run through, many portions where you find that word used. Acts 9:1, I mentioned that earlier. In the singular form. Acts 9:1. Acts 9:10. Acts 26. Acts 10:26. Acts No, Acts 9:26. Acts 9:25. Acts 9:36. Acts 9:38. Acts 11:26. Acts 11:29. Acts 13:52. Acts 14:20. 22 and 28. I'll take it again. Acts 9:1. Acts 9:10. Acts 9:25. Acts 9:26. Acts 9:36. Acts 9:38. Acts 11:26 and 29. Acts 13:52. Acts 14:20 and 22. Acts 14:28. Acts 15:10. Acts 16:1. Acts 18:23. Acts 18:27. I'll take it again. Acts 11:26. Acts 11:29. Acts 13:52. Acts 14:20. Acts 14:22. Acts 14:28. Acts 15:10. Acts 16:1. Acts 18:23. And Acts 18:27. Now look at this again. Acts 19:1. Acts 19:9. Acts 19:30. I said Acts 19:1. Acts 19:9. Acts 19:30, Acts 20:1, Acts 20:7, Acts 20:30, Acts 21:4, Acts 21:16, Acts 21:16. I think I have something there. Acts 21:16. Okay, that's fine. Why was this? Why was the word disciples so strong in the book of Acts? It shows that they were learning. It also shows that there was much teaching. Because you wouldn't use the word learner if there was not something being taught. Let me see if you understand that. Is that very clear? You wouldn't use learner if there was nothing being explained. So Jesus Christ was progressively being explained. Why was this so? Many today follow miracles and not Jesus Christ. Look at John 6. After Jesus had fed thousands with bread and fish, he fed them. Thousands of them. With bread and fish. He now began to preach. He began to talk about himself. He began to reveal himself. John 6. Look at verse 59. This thing said he in the synagogue. As he taught in Capernaum. Watch this. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this verse 60 is an hard saying. Who can bear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And there are some of you that believe not. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Some of you that did not believe. Did not believe. They were there. But did not believe. John 6. If Jesus can have people follow him that long and they did not believe the message, yet he was always preaching, it would not be worse if you are not preaching at all. They did not believe. Follow this. Let's see verse 64 together. Everybody, John 6. And there were some of you that believed not. Are you there? Look at the B part. For Jesus, let's go. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Follow this. Then, in verse 66, read verse 66 together. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You will have called this a failure of a minister. What's going on? You find six principles to keep them. Someone told me. He said there are two ways for church growth. He thought he was talking to him. He said, make, follow this very well. He said, make the entry point as wide as possible. And make sure that the exit point is short. He said, explain it. Make it easy for people to come to the church. And make it difficult for them to leave. He said, go further. Exegesis. He said, whatever they need, make sure you supply it in the church. He said, in their church, there's a very, it's a large growing congregation. He said, we give them many things. He said, for example, we have a dating club where you meet people. We have business club. We have football club. We have basketball. So everything, so that you will not go elsewhere. I said, they will go. They will go. How much football can I watch in the church? It's only those, I said, it's only those who are poor that attend a business seminar organized by a church. Is that a poverty of ideas or poverty of money? Why would I go to a business seminar organized by a church? It shows that you are daft. A business seminar organized by a church. When those who run big corporations spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to learn. So it's just a church growth thing. So in your mind, they have dulled your perception to think that they are meeting your needs. How? Does it make sense? Praise God. A dear minister told me, he said, you know, I want you to help us, to give us money to buy DSTV. I said, why? He said, because many of the youth, they are going to all these television centers, so we can attract them. But because I respected the minister so much, I had to give it. And I said, Lord, I know you understand. That song by Don Williams. You know that song? You know that song? Don't know it. You know Don Williams? He's a pastor of, he's a country music singer. Is he still alive? Let me remember that song. Lord, I hope this day is good. Know the song? I'm not saying, Mama. Oh Lord, I've forgotten the song. I used to sing it too. And I used to sing it secretly as a brother. I'm just singing my dad. If I go to hell, no problem. So they went back. This would have been, something is wrong with Jesus. That minister has a problem. Oh, see what's going on. No, there's no problem. He now turned to the 12. Will you also go away? This is anti-church growth principle. Will you also go away? And he answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? I love this statement by Peter. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lift your hands and worship Jesus. Wherever you are, just lift your hands and worship Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. That's why I'm in church. That's why I came here. That's why I go every Sunday. That's why I go Wednesdays. Hallelujah. Oh, lift your hands and just worship Jesus. To whom shall I go? To whom? To who? Where? Who is a person? Only you have the words of eternal life. Words. Not temporary things. Not material things. Only you has the words of eternal life. I can find business principles elsewhere. I can find marriage principles elsewhere. I can find other things elsewhere, political gist elsewhere. But only you has the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. You have your seat, praise God. He said, glory to God. To whom shall we go? That means they have come to follow a person. To whom? Well, look at verse 69. Let's say 69 together. And we believe, are sure. Hallelujah. We believe and we are sure that you are the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Very important. So when he sends you out to go and make disciples, realize what he has done. He has not asked you to go and invite people. He has asked you to go and talk to people about him. To go and unveil him to people. To go and explain the Master, the Lord, the Savior to the world. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. It's possible to have people being seen as Christians. Just like Acts 19. They were learning. But what they were learning was not Christ. And I'll teach you in evangelism. You know, Paul, when you go for evangelism and you see people with a Bible or a CD, don't assume they are born again. Paul met certain disciples. That means they were learning something. They had books they were reading. Are you following what I'm saying? They had a shirt on them. A shirt on them. We say, well, I have the kingdom takeover. That's what they have on them. Paul says, he asks the question, have you received the Holy Ghost? Since you believe, you must interrogate. Sometimes some of you say, everybody is born again. Says who? Are you sure? Are you sure about that? You know, if with some of us, you went in Acts 19, you have said, you said, met certain disciples, and they were opening the Bible. You have said, no problem. Say, what do you want to say? No, you know, we are brethren. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And then they answered back, we have not heard. What did they say? We have not heard. Whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said, unto who then, what then were you baptized? He began to ask them what they were really following. What are you learning? You are learning about end time transfer of wealth. Not forgiveness of sins. You are learning about how to take over government. Not Christ Jesus. You are learning about being made righteous by works. Not Jesus Christ. He asked them. Do you ask these questions? Or you assume because somebody is saying Marabababa Sangara Baba Abuja Lagos, you think he's born again? Don't you see people speaking tongues in drama? Huh? You know, they say, who told you that's the Holy Ghost? Do you know believers by tongues? You know them by what they have believed. There was a lady, pay attention here. In 1995, we were organizing the program, Dunamis meetings. Was it 94 or 95? So the lady came in, and we all began to minister by tongues and interpretation. It was in a room, of course, smaller than this. So she was just like, Masima! Now, no, that's not how I knew it was in tongues by the Holy Ghost. So I said, come. I said, sit down. Are you born again? She said, yeah. When did you receive Christ? She said, yesterday. You mentioned the brother who brought her to church, to the meetings. I said, good. But what you are saying, you have been seeing it before. She said, yes. She said, so when you are coming back tomorrow, empty your mouth. You've heard that story before? I told you the story before. Empty your mouth and bring it afresh. Mama, see, I can never forget that. Mama, see, mama. I said, ah. Don't judge people by tongues. is a false gospel. I was in a fellowship. No, I was not a member. Sorry, I attended. So I got to university. I wanted to attend a fellowship. I was pastoring in Lagos, but I wanted to attend a fellowship to show accountability. I went to this particular fellowship. And that church has grown wide today. I love the church. I actually wanted to be part of that fellowship. But as I got there, the pastor preached well, because she preached well. Well, fine enough. I can't remember what she preached like that again, but I know she preached well. So, then I said, first timers, get up. So of course I got up. And they said, all of you come here. So they took all of us to the stage. So the heads of departments now came to pick us randomly. Come and join grandma now. And I said, how do you know I'm born again? How do you know? And they were writing names. So you are now in choir. So you are now. I just walked away. And I never went back there again. It's a charade. It's true that it appears like your message has the word of God in it. But that's not really how you want to grow your church. You want to grow the church by another means, not the message. Because you know the word of God is patiently preached and taught. You want to hasten things up. That's why a lot of folks can have some content of the word of God in what they preach, but their ministry is not the word of God. Saints community, let's be careful. Do you hear me? We must be word people in everything. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I'm saying? In everything. We're not in a hurry. Praise God. You hear what I'm saying? We must be word people in everything. In everything. When we're doing evangelism, the word. When we minister to the sick, the word. You will never find us say, what happened over there? Tell us what's going on, pastor. God forbid, baptism. That is showbiz. Did you ever see Jesus say, tell me, it's showbiz. It's for television. If people are healed, don't they know it? Don't they know it in their body? Showbiz. We will never do that. Woe betide us if we know all this and do those kind of things. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I'm saying? Never. We don't do it. We don't use people's testimonies to attract people. That's the essence. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, how many of you have been healed in our services? Raise your hand. Raise your hand now. Raise it well. Ah, praise God. Did you ever see us document it? And say, Bola Adegori, so and so. No, there's no need for that. We're not building on that. I've had meetings where hundreds were healed. Hundreds. They were healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hundreds. Glory to God. I've raised the dead before. But you will never find me build a church. Not one, or ministry on it. Because it's dangerous. The apostles did not. Paul says, I have laid the foundation. What was the foundation? The message of Jesus Christ. Never. Never be found doing that. You preach the message. Hallelujah. So when you go out in evangelism on campuses, wherever you are, on the street, ask, what do you believe? Praise God. How many of you have seen that before? That people go into church and they are workers, you found out they are not saved. How did you find out? You ask questions. Right? You ask questions. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So we have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. That the Bible says, he now preached Christ to them. They were now baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. I preach the gospel of Jesus. Say, I preach the gospel of Jesus. Thank you. So it's possible to have a mix-up. You know why? Because many, in the book of Acts, many of their meetings were in public places. So people will come in. And you know, you have Jews who were naturally religious people. How many of you know Africans are religious people? Africans are religious people. That's why people go to churches and go to shrines. They're religious people. They are. They're religious people. They just go. And that's why, have you discovered? Who has discovered something? If you have, let me know. You will have friends or relatives who will be so committed to churches when they are in Africa. But when they go to the Western world, it appears like they change. Why? Because they were miracle seekers. The things you call miracles are everyday experiences in those places. I told you that my first experience in South Africa, in Johannesburg, I was literally afraid. You know why? They didn't take light. I just said, how can a place be, and there's no up Nepal? Didn't take light. A friend of a friend of mine, because we have to be careful the things you say. He went to a country in Europe to preach. He thought he was in Nigeria. Covenant of settlement. This is your day. It's your day. So he said nobody was screaming after him. Nobody was shouting. He said, the house is yours. Some of you live in a house. God is, your Goshen is here. Your Hebron is here. Nobody responded. If you are looking for a job, listen to me. You are not in the labor market, you are in the favor market. Hallelujah. He was saying all that thing, and nobody was responding. So he now called his friend and said, your people is like they don't have faith. He said, wait. He said, what kind of faith? He said, they are not moving with the anointing. He said, there was nothing you are saying that they did not have. He said, government gives houses here. If it's jobs, the employment rate here is 0.00%. And that point is not here. They have insurance policy. They can travel all over Europe with no visas. And there are a few countries they have to apply for visa. If it's even healing, health, 999, immediately they will come. No. I recall when my son, he was with a mother in London, and then he fell down, and his tooth, you know, got off. And Mar said that the way they handled him, they brought brain surgeon, this one surgeon, to check everything. Nigeria, teeth. Teeth. So they were examining him, did x-ray, is anything wrong? I said, why are they doing all that? It's because I'm an African. You know? So it's normal. Immediately they're okay. So they'll say, you just say, I'll lay hands on you. If you are sick, just say, let me just die, 999. Was laying hands, I'll not be using faith. This one is simple. They'll just give something to go. So by the time, because they never had the knowledge of Jesus, by the time you go to those countries, what you have built upon will just collapse. That's why many of them, you call them the backslide. Is because they were never learning Christ. Let me see if you are following what I'm saying here. You have to ask questions. What do you believe? If somebody believes in Christ,
And he doesn't know that the reason why Jesus died and rose is for forgiveness of sins and righteousness through faith and the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He now becomes a son. He has a fellowship with the Father. If why he has received is for things, he has believed another gospel. The gospel is Christ alone. Amen. Not Christ plus something. Are you in church? Since community, don't forget, your message must never change. That's why whatever we preach here can be tested in any region of the world. Hallelujah. Any region. Because we preach Christ. No more. Any region. Salvation is found in it. A Muslim called us, one of our TV programs, said, I've never heard the gospel this way before. Jesus only. Hallelujah. Are you hearing this? So, there was a public meetings, and then they had the house to house. Just like Acts 20:20. So in the public programs, you find a mixed breed, religious. Africans are religious. They are religious. Even the president will not say three words, God. You don't know which God he's talking about. God. So they are just religious people having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Many of us were brought up in church. My grandfathers, in fact, my great grandfather, the Bishop Campbell of Lagos, was a missionary across the whole of Africa. My grandfather was another missionary. So you can imagine the kind of family I'm born to. I may not know Jesus and think I do. And my dad's dad was a prophet. I used to have a uniform. A prophet that has uniform. And so I grew up going to church. I grew up saying Jesus unconsciously. I grew up being punished with Jesus. Where did you go? Where did you go? I said, I went with someone to go and buy corn. Hey, when church was going on? That God will not make her a lie. And she will put my hair. So I knew Jesus as someone that hates children going to buy corn. That Jesus does not like children making noise in service. So I never knew Jesus. Praise God. My father told me, don't follow those born again. My father said, simple religion. And he was my model, my star, my hero, my moon, my son. I believed in him. Because my father was a very intelligent man. In the university, he scored just 70s. I think he had 60s one or two times. He set a record in Ife that was not broken until 20 or 25 years after. His name was there. So he was very brilliant. And, you know, a man of integrity. So he was a model. So he told me, he said, don't ever. He said, don't mind, say born again. He said, it's a lie. He said, a Christian is somebody who does not lie, who does not cheat, and loves his neighbor. He said, if you keep all those things, you go to heaven. I believe my father. Until I heard about Jesus. And I said, if my father can be wrong on eternal things, he can be wrong on many things. Like a young boy who met Billy Graham. He said, oh, are you the evangelist? Say, yeah. Billy Graham said, yeah. He said, please, I want to know the road to the post office. Billy Graham said, I'm not sure. I think he's going to say, ah, you don't know the road to the post office? Are you telling us the road to heaven? That's by the way.
All right.
So Nigerians and Africans are religious people. And because we have so many problems, we are looking for answers. How many of you did your parents take you to prophets? I don't want to say herbalists, because that would be too much. You don't want to raise your hand if I say that. I was taken to them. So, but I, if I say you raise your hand, you say, no. Look around first. You know, of course, when you make them, you see whether anybody will raise their hand first. If you look at the quality of those who raise their hand, you will say, first time I say, I can't join myself with this guy. But when someone like Pastor Lan, Pastor Wally raised their hand, he said, let me raise my hand. We have all been there. All of you have been taken to prophets before. That one is a prophet. You think they are different? Have you raised your hand? Don't put it down. You think they are different? Do you know that it's not really different from how people go to churches? Go, and it's always go and do this. Something is wrong. Mediums to know God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Somehow, I don't have time to go into this explanation, but I'll just mention it. It seems like in those public meetings, there were mixed multitudes. But then the apostles now adopted house by house. So in house by house, we're able to cater and monitor the spiritual lives of people. So there was a public meeting, and there was now teaching from house to house. And that's why the concept of the mega church has a counterproductive effect. Because people are just gathering their numbers, and you may not be able to care for their spiritual life. You may not even know who is not saved. So the church should always be breaking up. Are you following my point? I told our pastors, we would never amass people in one place and call it a service. We'll have meetings like that. But we'll keep breaking up and keep raising people who can disciple people for Jesus. Are you following my point? Because we're not after crowds. What's the point of a crowd where they're not born again? But when we break up, you know, it is easy for Femi here to know to monitor 10 people than to monitor 20. Is that not true? I will pastor 5 people better than 500. I will do a better job with 5 people than 500. So what do? I keep multiplying myself. Do you get my point? So nobody is building an empire. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That is Saints Community Church modelo. Nobody is. We'll keep splitting up. That's why we have fellowships, so that people can be well monitored. They can be well discipled and taught. That's why in our church, we say we are raising ministers so that you would multiply spiritual growth in the lives of people. Let me see how you are following what I'm saying. Well, let that be the vision on your mind. Let that be the vision on your mind. Break up. We'll break up again. Okay? Have someone be there. Have someone be there. Who is there? So that we have more people looking over more people in the house of God. Are you there? How were they able to make disciples? That is something we're going to study. How does this happen? It starts, brothers and sisters, with how you preach the gospel. Never try to draw people with something that is not the gospel. If you do it, you will raise false converts. You will say, well, let's bring them in first. They will not give them the word. You are looking for trouble and disaster. Let's investigate how they preached. Do you know how some of us preach today? Come and accept Jesus. The Jesus you will not mention. So in his head, is that Jesus that he knew as a child that you are telling him of? Who is the opposite of Muhammad? You are not preaching. You are not explaining Christ. Look at the messages in Acts of the Apostles. Are you ready? Acts 2. How did Peter preach to the crowd? Acts 2. Verse 17 to 35. He said, this is that from 16, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He now began to explain from the scriptures. Is this evangelism? Is this evangelism? Good. He now began to talk about Jesus. He talked about how he was crucified and slain in 23. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Peter did not rush the sermon. That is why till today, don't we teach from what he said? Do you know we explain the facts of redemption from Peter's evangelistic sermon? Can I teach a series from your sermon to the lost? He began to explain. He was quoting David. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for it's on my right hand that I should not be moved. He went on and on and on. Then in verse 32, let's say 32 together. This Jesus had God raised up. Well, we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has spread all this which you now see and hear. But David is not ascended to the heavens, for he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make the enemies your footstool. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, but Lord. Verse 37. And when they heard what? Not when they saw, when they heard, faith had come. A deliberate preaching of Christ is evangelism. Chapter 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob had glorified his son Jesus, God of our fathers, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, and he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, the desire of the murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong. See, verse 19, verse 18, he's preaching Christ. He's preaching Christ. In verse 25, he says, you are the children of the prophet and the covenant which God had made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kingdoms of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. In what? In turning every one of you from his iniquities. Hallelujah. Can you preach from here? Can you teach? Now, let me ask you. Can you start teaching spiritual growth from what he said? Yes. So the first point of contact was they were learning. And they will continue to learn. Are you still there? Acts 4. Acts 4. He's preaching. Be it known unto you, verse 10, to all people, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you today. Whole. Sorry. This is the stone which has set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's preaching Christ. Till date, we still refer to these sermons. Acts 5:21. When the angel let Peter loose and he went to the temple. See, the angel told him in verse 20, Acts 5. He says, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Hallelujah. All the words of this life. Let's read verse 21. Acts 5. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and what? And taught. Hallelujah. And they taught. They explained. The word didasko, 97 times is used. Didasko means to teach, to explain, to explain, to explain, to explain, to explain. That's what they were doing, to explain. Hallelujah. In Acts 4:2, they taught the people and preach through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Acts 4:2, Acts 5:21, Acts 11:26. They taught much people, make disciples. Acts 14:21. They were teaching. Acts 15:1. Those who taught, those ones were Pharisees. Acts 18:25. Apollos. Acts 20:20. Paul. Acts 22 verse 3.
Acts 21 verse 28. They were teaching. They were teaching. Paul, 1 Corinthians 2:13, the things which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So teach when you are preaching to the unsaved, ensure you explain. Are you there? Galatians 1:12. Galatians 6:6, they were teaching, run through the Bible. Ephesians 4:21, you have not so been taught, you have been taught of Christ. Ephesians 4:21. Colossians 2:7, as you have been taught in Christ, or taught by Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, 2 Timothy 2:15, Titus 1:9, 1 John 2:27, two times you see it. Titus 2:11, the grace of God that brings salvation appeared unto all men, teaching. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:16, Romans 12:7, Colossians 1:28. Teaching. When you are preaching to the unsaved, ensure you explain. So you will not be giving him a false impression. Hallelujah. Go to Acts 5. Acts 5 again, from verse 29 to 32. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him God had exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Till verse 33. He's preaching. Acts 6. From verse 15, or maybe Acts 7. From verse 1. Stephen preached and preached the entire Bible. Talking about Jesus. The entire Bible. Acts 7. Look at Acts 8. Acts 8. None of them hurriedly spoke about Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? None of them did. They took their time and they preached Christ. They explained him. They told us who he is and who he was. Acts 8. Acts 8, watch this. Verse 35. Remember that story of the Enoch? Remember that story of the Enoch? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the very same scripture, at that same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Praise God. What scripture? That guy was reading the book of Isaiah in verse 30. In Acts 10, from verse 35 down to 43, what was Peter preaching? He was preaching about Jesus. He was explaining. Till today, we make references to these things they said. Your evangelistic sermon must be such that you will still build on it afterwards. It must be part of the spiritual growth process. Don't preach a lie to get people to your church. Preach the truth of Jesus. Acts 13, Paul, from verse 16. He began to preach the Old Testament. In verse 23, of this man see that God, according to his promise, Acts 13, 23, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. He spoke about John the Baptist. Then he went on and on, the humanity of Jesus, and said, him, God had raised him, verse 30, from the dead. Glory to God. He's preaching Jesus. In verse 39, by him all that believe are justified from all things, from that which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Verse 38, through this man is preached unto you forgiveness of sins. Acts 17, you have no excuse not to explain Christ. Acts 17, 22. This is Paul in the midst of mass heal. Say, you men of Athens. These were atheists or agnostics. People who preached, who were serving an unknown God. And he began to explain. Explain. What he said here is still a basis of our teaching meetings today. He began to explain. Then in verse 31, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And by one man, but that man whom he had ordained whereof we had given assurance unto all, in that he raised up Jesus from the dead. We're going to say something. Did you notice that at many instances, when they preach, some will believe and some will not. When they preach, some will even mock. What nonsense are you talking about? In other words, you must not preach what they want to hear. Are you there? Acts 19, we were there earlier. Paul met the seven disciples and he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Then he put Jesus to them. Learn to ask questions. Praise God. Acts 24. All the sermons. None of the sermons was without the news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Did you also notice that what was consistent was the issue of forgiveness of sins? Hallelujah. Who noticed that? Who noticed that? Let me see here. It's death, burial, resurrection, and the forgiveness of sins in his name. Acts 24. Verse 14, verse 15, verse 16. Acts 26, this is very vital. Turn to that one. Acts 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both to the great and small, saying none other things than those things, Acts 26, verse 22, with the prophets and Moses did say shall come. What was he talking about? He says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto, that's verse 17, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I learned that some people say you must not talk about sins. You know why? Because you will offend the sensibility of people. If you remove sins from the gospel, what you have are sins. S-C-E-N-E-S. Mush. What is the gospel? How Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. How he was buried and raised again the third day, according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. I said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. That's why when he said so much, look at 24. Festus said, Paul, the mad, much learning has made you mad. That means he presented his case so intelligently. Hallelujah. He didn't say, come and meet my pastor. He's not a zibu-zibu man. My pastor has a bulldozer anointing. Any problem in your life, when you come to see my pastor, they will become powder. My pastor is the apostle of Boko Haram anointing. That's what people are preaching. They're introducing their man of God. They're talking about their church. They're talking about the last program they held. How people are now buying cars. Useless, materialistic, idol worshipping testimonies. Things that can be successfully said in mosques. Am I making sense? Some are even saying, come, all enemies that you have. A classmate of mine, who is the vice president of the association of my set, Government College, but open session, we were just talking one day. He said, this is how he said, I'm surprised though, that even my people are started learning from churches. I said, what do you mean? He said he went to a mosque on a Friday. That there's this particular mosque that he used to attend. I said, why? He said, that guy preaches a whole lot of virtues, morality, and all that. Okay. So he said, but the guy now traveled. So someone now came. He said, the first day, the guy said, all he was talking about was cursing your enemies. He said, they will grind them. He said, fire. He needs to mention Holy Ghost. He just said fire. He said, it will not burn them. No. He said, they will kill them first. Then the fire of God will burn them. He said, when they burn them, they will now grind them
And when the grenade did not point, he said, ah. He said, so he first left. He said, by the second Friday, he went again. The guy said, I'm saying all your enemies. He said, he just took his Quran. And he said, when the other man is back, I will return. He said, this one is a Pentecostal. I couldn't say anything. Is it not true? You that went to prophets like me, why did you go to prophets? Because they believe you have enemies. Or you went to prophets for another reason. Because maybe you have enemies. There are people chasing you in your dream. There's one Baba. Now, those prophets are now smart. They now know that since this is what everybody is looking for, they now have very good auditoriums. There was one man. The man used to hold his Adilasa Maja. I don't want to mention his name. I know the man well. He used to do all this coconut and all that. So the rich people used to go there just to know that his church will not grow because of the location. That they will sponsor him and give him very good auditorium and put AC, and he just moved. The man now wears suit. He's on television. This is a man that someone said someone told him that she wanted to marry a guy and that the guy was not agreeing. He said he should bring the picture. And took the guy's picture on one coconut tree. And he's now on TV. In fact, I think he's on air about 5 times a week. But he has learned how to speak well. But it's the same thing he's preaching. We can't afford to be named among transgressors. Jesus was already numbered among transgressors as substitution. Brothers and sisters, what are we preaching? Are we preaching Charis Camp Meeting? Are we preaching Saints Community Church? Are you preaching Chris Onoyinka? Or you are preaching Jesus Christ that Chris Onoyinka preaches? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So when you set out for evangelism, what is on your mind? You want to make disciples for Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? You want to teach disciples for Jesus. So the starting point is the gospel of salvation, the message of salvation. But you are saying it so that the person will learn of Christ and will be so tutored. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, hallelujah. Can you say that in your evangelism? When I came to you, I came not with the excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Let's take verse 2 together. Everybody, for I determined. Stop there. Stop there. For I what? Make up your mind. Before I came, I made up my mind. I knew what I was never going to say. I determined not to know anything amongst you but Jesus Christ and He crucified. Many times people tell me, I ask people, I tell them this later, or maybe the other way around. I say, I remembered your thing when I came on the pulpit. Say, eh? And they wonder. And you taught for 2 days. I said, it's not your program that will give me what to preach. I know what I will preach anywhere is the same message. So any scripture you give me, I will remain with the message of the Bible. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to go and study to preach a message for you. I preached at one program in January. In fact, that was so funny. Saturday was me. And I told her, I said, I was in this program for a few days because I used to attend just to. I said, these ones are not even the kind of people you are going to go and open the Bible for. This was what I've heard them preach all this week. Yable, fly. Touch your head. I said, these ones, just tell them about Jesus. Almost like evangelism.
It's on television. It's on YouTube. I said, I just, this one's, what did he know? He don't know anything. Praise God. There's Philemon 6. It's not funny. That everything you are learning in this program, you will be blessed, is not in the epistles. You are back to Egypt. There's a church, the pastor said, what scripture does he have on prosperity? He said, the day I came in contact with the mystery of prosperity, he said, Deuteronomy 28:1, if you act diligently, the voice of God, he said, he will bless you. He said, from that day, I said, I'm working. And he drove everybody in the ministry, a very large church, to Deuteronomy 28. And the ministry is built on that. But things are changing by the power of the Holy Spirit. So imagine. I didn't have any notes. Where I knew they didn't know anything. When you find darkness, the torchlight of Nokia 3310 will help everybody. It's not funny. Because if you hold a program 1 week and you don't talk about Jesus, you can mention his name to collect money. You know people have used your name to do 419. You can mention his name to preach works. But when you preach Jesus, Bible says, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty to see clearly. Says, come in church, are you listening to what I'm saying? We must know. You must determine. Praise God. You must what? Determine. Let's finish it. 1 Corinthians 2:2. I what? Save Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That means you can preach Jesus Christ of the four gospels. You can preach Jesus Christ of the four gospels. But then, him crucified. Particular. The work of Jesus. His sacrifice for sins. His burial. His ascension. His resurrection. That's why in the epistles, you will not, in fact, even in the fourth gospel you read, in the book of Acts you read, there was no long thing about Jesus. They focused on his death. They didn't talk about his mother. They didn't talk about any other thing. But how he died, how he rose from the dead. I determined not to know anything. So, you will know what you are preaching. Don't ever allow people's mocking or mockery of what you are saying to make you adjust. They mocked Jesus, they mocked the apostles, they mocked Paul, they mocked Peter, and they are going to mock you. They will say, what can we present to these people that will make them come? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. I determined. This must be done before your outreach. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Not with the words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. It's dangerous. Verse 4, my speech, look at verse 4, let's say verse 4 together. My speech was not what? Why, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. So is it possible for people's faith to stand in the wisdom of men and not in the cross of Christ? When that happens, are they believers? Are they children of God? Are they born of the Spirit of God? Or can they be good church members? Can they be in departments? Can they be in departments? Can they attend prayer meetings? Are their names in the book of life? No. Must preach Christ alone, because faith comes only by the message of Jesus. You cannot get faith by preaching material prosperity. The faith you will get is the faith of the four gospels where they all believed and they were getting healed and getting miracles. But when he preached about himself, they turned away. Unbelievers can have faith for healing. Unbelievers can have faith for finances. But unbelievers, when they get faith for salvation, they become Christians. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying here? You must know what you are saying. You must never leave the narratives of the testimony of Jesus. That's why in our book, This Gospel, I said the minute you alter the facts, don't alter it. Don't turn it into gist. It's not comedy. Don't make it a movie. Don't try and make it look... Leave it the way it is. For God has chosen to save through the foolishness of preaching. Hallelujah. That is how he saves. Through the foolishness of preaching. Are you there? Don't sound nice when you are preaching the gospel. I'm not saying sound harsh. Don't try and put sugar-coated words. You will eventually compromise the message. Don't preach blessings as the gospel. Don't preach this one. Does God bless? Yes. Is there power to heal? Yes. Does the name of Jesus cure sickness and diseases? Yes. Can we cast out devils in his name? Yes. Is that the gospel? No. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, these are the signs for men to believe. You can only believe when Jesus Christ is preached unto you. That's how you believe. You must never be found preaching any other thing but Jesus Christ. Particularly what? His work. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. His present work of intercession for all men. Because you will find people, 1 Timothy 6, who will preach gain as godliness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 5, perverse disputes of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw yourself. 1 Timothy 6 and 4. Colossians 2. Are you learning something? Colossians 2. And then verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. Don't preach visions. Preach Christ. Don't preach an angel came and said this. An angel came and said that. Preach Jesus Christ. Play for me, I close. So in your preaching, you teach Christ. You explain Christ. Or else, as Paul warned, 2 Corinthians 11:4, you may be found preaching another Jesus. And another spirit. I know you want to grow. I know you want men and they will. Hallelujah. Because the goodness of God will lead men to repentance. Romans 2:4. But don't help God. Is that okay? Don't help God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Even if men mock it when I'm preaching it, I'll keep preaching it. Some who mocked came back. Paul mocked initially, he received later. In Acts 17, when he preached at Berea, the first said, we'll hear you again. They went back and thought through what he said. They now came back and believed. So don't, because you want them to believe immediately, rush through what you are saying. If Paul rushed through what he said, they won't have things to go home and check whether those things were so. And these were honorable men, senators, House of Rep members.
executive members of the Federal Executive Council, honorable men, men of the Business Council, senior members of the Stock Exchange of the nation. They heard those things. And they went back and searched whether those things were so. Are you ready to preach Christ alone? I'm asking you a question. Are you ready to preach Christ alone? No pressure should change your message. Christ alone. Christ alone. Because if you don't, you have mixed multitudes. You have those who are not believers. And they will be seen as though they were. You have men's faith in the wisdom of men, not in the power of God. Unbelievers can be around. Just like Acts 14. Acts of the Apostles. Severally. Just like 1 Corinthians 14. So if an unbeliever should come in, the secret of his heart is made manifest. He will fall down on his face and worship God and report of the truth that God is in you. Amen. Your emphasis on Jesus will make a clear separation between men. You see a classical example of one-on-one evangelism, Acts 8, Philip and the Enoch. He preached Christ. Enoch. He sat him down and he preached Jesus to him. You see the ones in the public place, Peter stood up and he preached Jesus. Acts 2:16. Down to 34 and 35. Whether you are standing before highly important people, remember Acts 5. Peter preached Christ, the same message. If you are standing before presidents, remember Acts 26. Paul preached before Festus and Agrippa. Remember, even in the midst of persecution, if you're in a mixed ground, there is no situation or terrain that is an excuse to preach another message. Amen. Take your Bible and stand to your feet. Let's say this. As we pray for ourselves, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Let's say it together. For I determined. Everybody, let's go one more time. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. No gimmicks, no tricks, no haste, no hurries. No hurries. No gimmicks. No tricks. No pleasures. No mixtures. No conjectures. Christ. You are not wowing your audience. You are not holding them spellbound. You are preaching Christ Jesus no more. You are making disciples. You are teaching. You are talking to an unbeliever, you are teaching. You are explaining. You are explaining Christ. Christ Jesus. He has saved you. He has now become your message. Hallelujah. Church, these are crucial days. We mustn't be found duplicating that which is not of Christ. Under no circumstance should you defy the scriptures to achieve any results.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? The word of God is growing. Don't let's add corruption to it. Ideas. No. There are so many things around we must not copy. I'm the one telling you. There are so many things around are popular. We must never copy. Do you hear what I'm saying? We must not repeat it. It will be worse for us as a ministry with all the light we have to reproduce those things. No matter who is doing it. Let the person be called a grace preacher or redemption reality preacher. Too bad. There are too many things we cannot reproduce. We stay with the purity of the message. And then we'll get the purity of the results. Hallelujah. No hurries, no haste. No quick fix results. No get big quickly. Never. Never, 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 never. We determined not to do anything. Save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's take that song again. We cover the earth. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.